What's good, my people? You know what it is. Don Tony Teflon, Phil the Issues Guy, escaping from Pockets up in the building right now. Phil, what's going on, brother?
I'm doing really well. And I want to thank everyone that's been subscribing to the audio cast as well. We're seeing some good numbers. I'll talk to you more about that afterwards. But if you want to, you're watching this live and you want to listen to this as an audio cast, you can check that out in all your podcasting places. Just search Escaping From.
No doubt. Listen, you have that on the bottom of the curl. If you want to call in, the number is right there on the bottom. It is 781-990-8509. If you're overseas and you want to leave a voicemail, do so by using theissuesguy@gmail.com. We want to hear from your cats overseas too. We put that there, especially because people are like, overseas cats, we can't get to your Teflon, Phil. We can't hear you and everything else like that. So we want to be able to let y'all voice be heard too, as always, and stuff like that. Let's say what up to some of the people who are rocking with us right now. We got Lady Ace in the building rocking with us right now. Vernon is up in here. Monty Monk Monty is up in here. We got it's moving a little faster. We are 08 Cali's in the building. Why So Curious? And it's your birthday. Why So Curious? So let me say to you specifically, may you live as long as you want and never want as long as you live. Happy birthday. What up to Bruna? Up here from Brazil. Sonic, your boy, is always up in here. And Amy is up in here rocking with us right now. What up, what up, what up, what up to everybody, man? We really appreciate everybody coming up here and rocking with us. But I know that you are, those, I would like to say that they're here for us.
Yeah, they don't want to hear us talk right now.
I'm sure they do not want to hear us talk at all. That because, you know, right now, we got a special guest up in the building.
Here he is, the one and only, you know him as Victor on the show, Scott McCord.
Hey, everybody. Phil, Tony, everybody.
Well, Scott,
excited to be here, guys. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for coming on, Scott. Truly appreciate it and everything else. And Scott, so we always have a ritual on Teflon TV. For your first time on Teflon TV, we'd like you to rep your hood. Don, I'm from Queens, New York. Phil is from Boston. Where are you from, born and raised?
Born and raised, I'm Canadian originally, so I'm from Southern Ontario, Canada. But now, and I think, Tony, I mean, you're going to be able to legitimize this for me. I've been in Brooklyn now for 7 years. Does that make me a Brooklynite? Is that official?
Yes. There's no doubt about it. 7 years in New York, you are now a New Yorker. Oh. You are down with us, 100%.
Honey, we're New Yorkers now.
You're New Yorkers. You know the difference between bad and good pizza, and you know the difference between good and bad bagels. Once you know that, that's you're New York. Those are the two keys.
Hey, let me say, you guys, it's such an honor to be on this. I found you guys during season one on YouTube and was just blown away at what you were doing. Love the live streaming. Everybody was involved, calling in, all that stuff. I've been so hyper aware of you throughout this whole journey. And you guys have really made this fan journey super special. So I want to, give you guys a little fist bumps.
Well, thank you so much. Thank you, truly appreciate it.
Thank you.
It's all that you guys do on the show that allows us to do what we do. And thank you. Thank MPM. Thank everybody. Nice, actors.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
With us all and everything else and all that. Yeah. So if y'all have a question, you know what I mean? Let me know in the chat. You know, you can highlight and everything else. And we'll get, and make sure you call in on the voicemail and everything else. All right. We're going to start real quick. Last season, and thank you, Mika Lee, for the super chat donation. Get that in a second. So last season, we let you left off inside the cave, and then picked up directly with you and Tabitha walking through the cave. How was it like shooting those scenes? Was it as creepy as it seemed on screen doing it?
That's a great first question. It was. It was. They had constructed on the set, which is up north of Halifax. I want to say it was probably like, there was more than, between 100 or a couple of hundred feet of tunnels and, you know, little caves where you saw all that stuff, sort of, you know, all that happening. And I mean, the art direction on the whole show is outstanding. I mean, you guys see it, the audience sees it. It's so good. Yeah, it was challenging. There were low ceilings, so I scraped my head a lot. You know, I'm 6 feet tall, so I was scraping my head on the caves. But we had super fun doing it. Jack Bender was directing that stuff. We did that right off the top. And then we actually came back several weeks later because Jack had some other ideas of other things that he wanted to add in there. And we actually went back and added some stuff and reshot a couple of sequences where I think part of that was to add some more monster activity. But I will end with this, Tony, because that's such a great question. What was really effective was that was, for me as an actor, the first time that I was in front of one of the monsters. If you remember, the last sequence in the labyrinth is, Tabitha notices the water getting up, but they start to wake up and start walking towards us. These wonderful, wonderful actors that sat in this makeup that I think prevented them from seeing very well. Like they had to have handlers sort of walk them around all day. And it was amazing. But I'll tell you, like you can see that there's effects shots sort of added to them as they're approaching, I think their eyes. But it's really, what you're seeing is really close to what they actually look like, you know? And that's just props to the makeup team, special effects team too. They looked amazing. And I'll tell you, I was standing there and they were just slowly walking towards me. We would cut certain takes, you know? And Catalina and I would look at each other and go, oh my God, you know, this is freaky, look at her, you know? It was so super effective, you know? But at the same time, such a great crew and the gang, everybody sort of keeps everything up and in the air too, you know? So we're having our laughs and having fun while we're doing it and all that. But astounding work, you know, by that crew and all the teams coming together and making that happen. Like just to arrive on the day and then to go, okay, let's bring you into the tunnels. And can you imagine? They walked us right into the tunnels, you know? And we're sitting there going, oh my God, little flashlight going around. And these guys would come in and spray the walls down, you know, and make them, everything was kind of dank. And it was beautiful, beautiful work.
It just sounds like it's so engaging when you put yourself in there. It's you're three-dimensionally being surrounded by this world. You can't help
totally.
But get into the fear of character. And I guess you've done a lot of voice work, a lot of really high-profile voice work for cartoons and a lot of lighthearted kids stuff. Would it really? Someone said Paw Patrol in the live chat that threw by. I know Inspector Gadget and as an actor, when you go into work on something, you know, like your voice acting work, how do you prepare differently when stage versus going into something like From, going into like, how is your process different? Is it different at all? Talk a little bit about that. Good.
I love that question too. Yeah, I was, I do get asked that. For me, it's different. It might be different for different actors. I think just basically by the fact that you're not being seen, you can still have external stimuli because sometimes they do on ensemble recordings. So let's say, you know, we're in there with other actors and we're playing off each other while we're recording voice. That's my favorite, of course, because it depends on the show, but you get the opportunity sometimes to go off the page and improvise, and you find these things in the moment that, you know, are just creatively heightened moments and experiences that you come out. I've had so much fun doing that, but you're still not seen, you know? I always say, Phil, like if people could actually see me when I'm doing voice work, it would change everything.
do you physically
contort yourself? Yeah, you know, you do crazy things. You know, there's a lot of screaming usually, you know, that kind of a thing too, you know, so you turn the headphones down and stand back and let it rip. And there's a real plus side to that of not being seen, because it also, you just kick off all your lids, your creative lids in a different way, I would say.
Nice.
It's crazy that you did a lot of the voice work. We got Liz. She did a lot of cartoons.
Liz does. Yeah.
I'm probably one of some of her best stuff. She's, you know, Mrs. Turtle. She was.
That's right. Yeah. And actually her husband, Cliff Saunders, right? Who plays the guy that she punches in the Dale. Yeah. She punches in the face. That's Liz's husband. I actually knew him first. He and I were on a really wonderful Canadian-produced show called Camp Lake Bottom, which ran for 3 seasons. And it was like a camp that was run by monsters. And these kids accidentally wind up in this camp, and they make friends with all of them, and they get up to all these adventures
like
together.
Sounds like
it is a little like fun.
Speaking of that, Scott, to go off that, yeah. Scargo in the live chat says, Scott, if you got to play Victor in a From cartoon spinoff, would you do a different voice? Would you
let's approach this like as if I had never found the Victor that I'd found first and I had a cartoon first. That's a great question. Who sent that? What's their name?
The name is Scargo Tape Shop.
Scargo Tape Shop. That's an excellent question. Yeah, you know what? I have a feeling it probably would have been, I mean, who knows, but it probably would have been, it just would be something different, I'm sure. Because so much of what I found in terms of Victor and his music, I'll call it, you know, the way he kind of speaks and how he paces himself and all of that was kind of found organically, you know, in working with my coach and just, you know, in front of a camera. So that voice sort of came out of that, whereas I would have probably approached putting this character together, you know, if it was just a voice, yeah, completely differently. I don't know what that would be.
When you do Victor you came up with that with your coach, what were you drawing? Were you drawing on the trauma that he's seen, or were you dealing with that this is who he always was, or did he become this due to the fact of the trauma?
Yeah, you guys, these great questions. Stop it with the great questions.
we'll ask you some bad ones too. We'll make sure that's
right. We'll get some bad ones.
What was sort of the beginning process of that and discovering?
The trauma that got him.
Yeah, it was the trauma for me. I mean, but that's because it's interesting. What I did on the audition for Victor was just a couple little scenes from episode 2 and 3 of last season, first season. And it was funny because I didn't have a script. I didn't know what was happening in the rest of the show. That wasn't given to us. The character of Victor was given to me, and the character, you get a character description when you're, you know, you get a little thing from the casting that sort of describes what he's about. And there wasn't that much there, you know, like I know that they sort of acknowledged his awkwardness, but there was something about him lacking social graces or something like that, you know? But what's interesting is one of the audition scenes was the first time you see me, which is where I come into the kitchen and Julie's tied to a chair. And I come in and go, I'm going to get some peaches, you know, excuse me. And then I come out and I start asking her about the two cars. And it was a great, great little scene. So you can imagine, you guys can imagine, I don't even know what this show's about. And I'm reading this scene. The beauty of John Griffin's writing and all of that, like Victor's music already started in that. I remember in that part of it in the audition. What I did in the audition wasn't so far from what I'm doing now, but it was different. You know what I mean? And my version of it, of course, you know, because I had no, again, reference to anything, my version of Victor was, I had this slicked back hair, and I think I yellowed out my teeth, and I had a workman's jacket on. I'd had this big Band-Aid across my nose. It was actually from some minor surgery that I had gotten done that week. And I remember being so wound up about that because I thought, I don't want to hand in this audition and think that I made this choice of a big Band-Aid across my nose.
That's right.
And the great ending to that story is when I got the part, my agent called me. And when I picked up the phone, he goes, hey, I got word back from. And I went, oh, really? What is it? And he said, they love the Band-Aid.
Oh, nice.
let me give a shout out to this real quick. C10 just gifted 10 memberships, 5 memberships to people. So thank you for gifting 5 memberships.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's a great show. So we got 5 new members. Thanks to you. Thank you so much for gifting those memberships to these people. I'm glad that people do that and everything else. Got them.
Scott, when you were doing your auditions, were your first auditions self-taped? Were you, did you?
Yeah, it was a self-tape. It was actually, right off the phone that I'm talking to you on right now. And it was the day after my 50th birthday. So we had the party the night before. And I thought, I gotta tape this thing in the morning. And I did it. We were actually living in a friend's apartment, subletting a friend's apartment at that time. So I remember doing it in his living room, you know? And yeah, amazing, right? Like just not knowing anything, not having any parameters or ideas of anything, you know, like what this was, what this world was, what this was gonna be. And then got the part of Victor. So, to answer the other part of your question there, Tony, so what happened then is that once that happened, and, you know, I connected with both Jack and John, and we talked about Victor. Of course, as you guys know, they don't give us a lot of parameters to what, you know, we're doing either, right? Because it's all either being written or we're going to find out as we go however they decide to do it. So John just came in and gave me the seed, which is Victor's trauma. You know, he said to me, this thing happened when he was a boy and he was left alone, as we find out in season one, if there's any spoilers, but he was left alone in this place by himself for many, many years. And so that for me was the real starting place. Then I kind of feel like I went back with what I had and jumped in with my coach, and we just started to do a series of, you know, sessions together where, you know, we found all that stuff organically, just based on that, on that trauma and finding that pain. And, you know, as we keep shooting the show, and as you guys will see in this year too, is, you know, there's a little, some more revelations and things happening along the way. I get the opportunity to keep going further and further into that core and that thing and that, because Victor is, that's the past of the town as well, right? We know this. So it's pretty thrilling to, you know, as the season comes, you guys will see this next season is so great and where it goes for everybody. But I can say this, there's definitely, you know, there's more Victor and there's more of that backstory. You know, well, it's already started, right? You guys saw episode two, fragments of his memory. Things are starting to pop, come back, right?
Yeah, and that's great that, no, number one, let me just say congratulations for being moved up to the main cast from the first season.
Amen, thank you.
You know, congratulations to that. Let me get a question here from Angel Perez. He wants to know, what's the hardest part of playing the character of Victor?
Good question.
The hardest part? Yeah, man, these questions are amazing. I mean, I would say that it's always beautifully challenging, you know, in some way. So there's, you know, John just keeps it with each script, right? Crack it open, and then there's all this stuff to mine, all this gold, but all this stuff to mine. I don't know if I would say that like hard is just, well, I think here's actually what I was just talking about in terms of, you know, for an actor, like as a reference, you know, to if I want to, you know, we're utilizing our own emotional content, our own, you know, our own experiences, the experiential, all of us are in this show. Even within this, you know, the context of this world that we're in. I would say the biggest challenge that I've got is that seed of that thing that happened to him, you know, the thing that I keep exploring, which is what would it be like to be left alone as a 9 or 10 year old boy in this world, you know? Perfect. What happened with all those bodies? You know, what happened with all those things?
And I know
the people that were there, right? You know what I'm saying? So I would say hard, but beautifully, beautifully challenging, you know, because I love going further and further into that. And a lot of that is just, you know, as of course, imagination. And a lot of that is, you know, the stuff that John can give me. Of course, everybody wants to know what's happening next. You know, we're always plugging John all the time, and he's got this, and we go to him with our theories. Like sometimes we think we know where it's going next. And I love this. I love telling this story. And John has this thing, this is poker face. So you'll go to him and you'll go, I know what's going to happen to Victor this season. This, this, and this. And he has this great reaction where he'll listen and he'll go, huh? And that's all you get.
Yeah, he's got the Oreo in his hand. That's he's playing from the Rounders movie.
He's doing the Teddy KGB there. He's doing
the Rounders movie. He's got the Oreo.
But that was that's a great question.
Yeah, you tell him I've got. Tell him to watch my channel.
He'll give you the yep.
Yeah.
Tony, let's get to some voicemails. This is from our good friend, the voice at 916.
Wait. Before you play, now Scott, you have done voice acting work. Now, this is a very good person on our channel. I think that this person would make an amazing voice actor. Expert opinion when you hear this voice. All right, here we go.
The voice at 916.
Hello, this is the voice at 916. Hello, Tony, Phil, Scott. Thanks for sharing some of your time with us. We are serious fans of the show, and so I'm not gonna. I'm going to definitely try not to fangirl. Thank you, though. But I just wanted to say, Victor has had such an amazing impact on the show. Your performance is incredible.
Thank you so much.
You were able to show Victor's trauma even through his innocence and sometimes mysterious responses to situations. I noticed that Victor has opened up to Tabitha and Julie and Ethan, but it's also, you're able to also contrast that with the surprising stink eye you gave Boyd when you saw those worms crawling in his arm at the end of episode, at the end of the episode. I just didn't know what to make of that. That was, seemed so different for Victor. I've never seen him do anything like that. That's one of the nuances I really appreciate in your performance.
Absolutely.
I understand that you're a musician. What type of music do you play? And what's your instrument? I'd like to follow you with
Your instruments?
You can support there too. But anyway, I'd like to thank you again. And I'm going to sign off. This is the voice at 916.sexy.fm saying thank you.
Oh, that's our call. Ooh, it's getting hot in this car.
That is sensational. I almost thought that was like AI or something at first. I'm like, that's too good. You know what I mean? I'm like, come on, Tony, that's not a real voice.
That's a real voice, right? Yeah. I said that she should be doing voice acting. I keep saying, I was like, you got the voice, girl. You should be doing, that's what you should, you're missing your call.
That's what I refer to you guys as dulcet tones. You know what I mean? Like dulcet tones. Those are lovely. So I think she had a question there. So a couple of things that were interesting, because I know this is probably going to come up. I know you guys are wondering this too. Everybody, wants to know about this last moment with Victor and
answers.
Carol.
Answers time.
Answer time. Okay. And what the look was about. I actually, I'm just going to get so frustrated because here comes the show. This is the whole thing. I don't have an answer in terms. Here's the thing. What that moment is to me with Victor is that if you remember when we are a little, we're sort of surviving the night with the talisman inside the truck. Mm-hmm. And there's this really great conversation between Boyd and I where we don't answer each other's questions, where I'm like, hey, I thought you were on a journey. And he's like, what are you drawing? And we won't answer each other's questions. And what's really lovely about that is I think Victor is, because I have been there a long time, I imagine, now this is me, Scott, speaking, I imagine a lot of people that have been in that town that have ever ventured off into the woods to figure out what's going on in this place probably didn't come back that often, right? Talisman or not. I think that there's a reason that everybody, goes in inside, stays safe. And we know this. And so I think what's happening there, and just to get to that final moment with Boyd too, is Victor's just recognizing that, first of all, I think Boyd went out and came back and he wouldn't answer the, did you find what you were looking for? Was one of my lines for him, it was one of the questions I had. And, he doesn't answer. And I think, if this makes sense to you guys, I think Victor just recognizes that this is unique, and that clearly at the end there with Boyd, that something's going on. And I think that's what Victor's responding to. Because I think that there's overall, and since last season, if you guys remember in that episode 7 of last season where Julie comes to my room, she's upset and she's like, can I just hang in here? I just want to get away from everybody. And she's plugging me with questions that again, I won't answer. And there is, as we discovered in episode 10, the idea that the further that we go down this path, more bad things will happen. That's kind of the vibe, right? You know what I mean? You build a tower, you put it on the roof, didn't go so well. You know what I mean? There was a voice that came through the radio that even said to Jim, your wife shouldn't be digging that hole, you know? So, and this isn't coming from a place where I know what any of those things are specifically. You guys know that. The cast does not know what's going on. But again, my feeling is that so much of what, how Victor operates, because, you know, it's even my wife sometimes, she's like, oh, Victor, just speak up. Like, just go and tell everybody in town what's going on. And the thing is that, you know, in terms of what Victor knows, that will be revealed, I think, you know, over time, as these memories keep coming back to him, that he's trying to decide, as he says in episode two, like what's real and what's not and what were dreams. And but there's this idea of like, you know, we don't want to maybe go down that path. You know, there's almost, it's almost a protective nature of Victor's, I think, with Ethan, with Tabitha, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, Victor's MO, because I get asked this a lot too, right? Like people are like, does he want to get out of there? It's his home, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think it's more about in the way that he's adapted to the place. This is what I think he does know. And that is that the further you go into this, bad things will happen. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? The further we ask, more questions we ask. Like we've seen it already, again, like with the end of last season, right? As soon as the Matthews family and Jade and everybody got this business going, you know, things started to fall apart.
And started digging graves because he knew, like, oh, people are going to die. You know, and
yeah, he's seen this.
Well, he thought, yeah. And, you know, it's starting. Remember that was Victor's, that's what I said at one point. You know, I said to Julie, tell your brother it's starting.
Mm-hmm. All right, let me put this up there because Emily Siegel, thank you for the super chat. She says, Scott, can you say hi to my kid, Harper Lee and Holden? My kids love Paw Patrol. Thank you.
So it was Harper Lee and Holden?
Yep.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I'll do it in Jake's voice. Hey, Harper Lee Holden, it's Jake from Paw Patrol. Hope all is well.
Thank you so
much.
That
is great. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
See, I didn't look too bad doing that either. I wasn't bad at
it. No, that's perfect. That's perfect. A couple of people have asked this in the chat. I think the answer is probably going to be no, but who knows? Do you draw the pictures yourself? Do you draw?
I don't draw the pictures. No, it's actually this wonderful human being, an artist, and he's a fascinating guy. Colin Canning. Colin Canning, C-A-N-N-I-N-G, and he does all that stuff. And I got the opportunity to meet him this year and got to go in this office, and this guy sits, he's awesome. It's all he does all day. And he's got, you can imagine, like his whole, it's just like he's in a canopy of his drawings. And he's got this like hubcap sized thing of crayons, endless crayons that he's digging in and, you know, drawing. I draw some of Victor's drawings for myself, for my own work, you know, but nothing that's been released in the show or is used in the show. It's all calm.
So if you want to buy some Victor's drawings from
contact. Yeah, I don't know how that works. You know, that's an MGM thing. I said, you know, that's more merch. Yeah, t-shirts, Victor t-shirts or something.
Check out thisisscottmccord.com for all your
We have a super chat here from Michael Lee. He says, hi Scott, you're on the best YouTube channel there is. T-O-T-S.
And
I would agree. I would agree.
Tony, ready for another voicemail? Code 317. And thank you everyone that's calling in. We'll get to as many as we can tonight. We appreciate everyone that's called in for a message for Scott. This is code 317.
Hi, this is Audrey Kirk from Indiana. And I have a question for the actor who plays Victor. My question is Victor still scared of the monsters, even though he's been there all this time? When he was in the cave waiting for Tabitha, I noticed that he didn't seem afraid until he saw the ventriloquist doll. So that leaves me to wonder, is he come to terms with what these things are and how to cohabitate with them, or is he still afraid of them to this day?
That's great.
Thank you for what you've done, and I really enjoy your show.
Oh, so nice. And a great question. Yeah, I think, you know, there is fear of these monsters. You know, Victor's been there longer and has probably, you know, been in front of them more than anybody else or around them. But so there is fear there. There was fear all through, that we were working anyway, all through those tunnels. But Victor had to lead for a while. And I think the ventriloquist dummy was a different experience for Victor, because that was something that I think was starting to trigger something inside him, certainly a feeling inside him of fear.
A memory,
but
maybe?
A possible memory, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I want to add to this and read a quick message that we got on Reddit for you from Accept and Adapt. A very long post, but I just want to sum it up.
Yeah.
Serious character development, a person who's fearful but overcomes fears to save their fellow human beings. I just want to know what went into Victor's head when he headed into the jungle at night at Colony House when he was attacked. Sorry for the long post, but I'm a fan of this series. I'm impressed with Victor saves people behind the scenes. He's like Batman. Victor is my superhero, and Mr. Scott McCord is absolutely breathed the life into his character. What an amazing actor.
Oh, so
what
nice.
Amazing pleasure. So this person thinks
so
he
nice.
Called you.
Well, I think you're Batman.
You're Batman.
Well, Batman.
You're Batman.
Oh, I love it. That was what a lovely message. So thank you for that and the question. It's another great question. Yeah, there was a little bit of a superhero element there too. Like Victor, you know, really took charge of that moment there, and you know, even had a rope ready to go.
Ready,
if you remember?
Ready to go.
Right.
Ready to
he has this thing. He was, you know, because again, he was thinking that it's starting. I think that there is, and this is me, Scott speaking. I think that there is something with, particularly the Matthews family. As we know, because it's special, two cars came into the town for the first time, right? We've got Ethan, who's got the connection to the boy in white. I have a very special relationship with these people in the Matthews family, you know, particularly a very maternal relationship developing there with Tabitha. I've got my friendship with Ethan, of course, and this thing that he and I were both chosen. And even with Julie, if you think about it, it was right there, right away. You know, I didn't hold anything back. I went down there to get some peaches. And when I saw her, I was offering her peaches, and I wanted to know. I wanted to know if she thought it was special that the two cars had come and how they arrived, whatever else. So I think that there's, you know, there's an element, I'll say again, of Victor that is becoming, I think, just more even apparent to me, that he is in a very protective mode, you know. And with certain people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know that. All right. Everybody out here putting super chats in and know that Phil is taking shots for $10.
Oh my goodness. Is that the way this is going? We did get one silly message I want to read to you, Scott. I don't know if you saw the Super Mario Brothers movie, but someone wants.
I did not.
There's a song that Jack Black sings that's Peaches, Peaches, Peaches. People want to hear you sing the Peaches song or put out a video singing the Peaches song.
But we did. The voice of 9 months is at 3 months. She asked. And we didn't get to that. We got a little sidetracked. What type of music do you play? That's what you want.
You know, I would say that the original music that I've made, I've got two records, one with a band called The Bonafide Truth, and then I have a solo record outside of that. And I would say, you know, I really love, I was very influenced by a lot of old 60s soul music, like Stax Soul, you know, from Memphis. Actually, a lot of music that just came out of Memphis. You know, to me, that was kind of like the center of it all for me, even as a little kid, you know, that I grew up on Elvis. And
especially that early.
You know, I love Al Green. I love Sam and Dave and Otis Redding and all that stuff. So that definitely influenced a lot of the music on both those records, for sure, you know. But I think it crosses a bunch of different genres. It's still kind of, the first record's very singer-songwriter like, and I played an acoustic guitar, which I don't normally do. I also play keys. My mother was a classical pianist and piano teacher, so she taught out of our house, so I grew up with that. She taught me for many years. And I sing. That's sort of like, that's sort of the, what is this? Oh, genres, right, sorry. Jumping around here a little bit. The genres, yeah, so I even think there's some jazz influence in there too on the Bonafide Truth record I had. We were talking earlier about having the pleasure of working with these horn players. I got this band together, these unbelievable players and these guys, and some of them, you know, they'd been through jazz school or whatever else. They were familiar with each other. The horns came as a unit. They're their own unit. And I learned a lot from them and playing with them. I was able to try and get that stack sound, right? I was trying to get that filter on what it was that I was making. We were talking earlier, Phil, about having that ability, like being up on stage with live horns and how impactful that is.
Feeling it. Might we see Victor show up with a guitar at some point?
What's that?
Will Victor show up with a guitar at some point?
You imagine? Well,
we do see a picture of a violin, but we don't know what's going on. That we do see a picture of a violin, so there's some musical influence somewhere around in there. Let's go through some of these super chats. If you got a big one here,
yeah.
I'm probably going to take a shot now, too.
Because, no.
Yeah.
All right, so Luna Cascades, she says, Victor is wise to know to draw pictures to preserve his memories. Wisdom is innocent. And what that reminds me of, and I'm going to, you know, when Victor does that, it reminds me of this movie Memento. I don't know if you ever seen Memento.
Oh, yeah, years ago. Yeah, great movie. Yeah.
And that's what it reminds me of. Like when he's drawing these pictures, like that guy would draw on himself to remember. Oh, yeah. And I feel like that's the reason why Victor does these pictures. He draws those things to remember himself.
Interesting, Tom.
I love that too. I mean, it's you know, he talks about it in the episode too a little bit. You know, the pictures remember, that the idea is, because I think because all the events in his early life were so traumatic, you know, and what was real and what wasn't real, and whether he was dreaming some of this or not. I mean, I think that's where this sort of comes from. You know, there's a there's a narration to the whole journey here that I think for Victor is or through those pictures. And even with those pictures, I don't think he's that convinced that, like, it's not totally reliable, you know? But I think that the pictures, he knows if he draws them, once he sees them right away, you know, he knows he's capturing something that happened that was real. But I think even, you know, he says at one point that, you know, I used to think that some of these things were dreams, you know? So, John Griffin gave me this great thing in the beginning where he said, Victor's like an unreliable narrator to himself.
Yeah, because he can't suss out what is truth, what is memory, what is dream. It's all sort of misty because he grew up there as a child. So sometimes if you think back to your childhood, you can't remember what, you know, was make-believe or not. It's probably all intermingled with him.
Yeah, and he knows nothing else, right? This to him is normal life. He doesn't know that outside the world there aren't creatures that come and eat you at night if they're eating people. That we'll see about that. I'm not sure about that myself, but that kill you at night. He doesn't know anything else. He thinks this is just normal life. This is just the way it is. You know what I mean? Because he's been there for so long, and I think that's an interesting aspect of him. Let me just shout out. Frederick sent a super chat. He said, thanks for the great work. And then Chris sent the super chat saying, hi, everyone. Scott, great job playing Victor. Thank you so much for sending that. That was sent to my Cash App. You can send stuff to the Cash App if you want. We truly appreciate that if you do.
100%. This is from area code 318.
Hello, Tony, Phil, and Scott, a.k.a. Victor. What an honor to have you here. You have been playing this part. You have me so convinced, and the rest of us, I'm sure. My comment is, what in the world? How have you survived so long?
Peaches.
And should we be concerned that you survived there so long?
Another great question, right? Yeah. I mean, you know, we know that the boy in white had a lot to do with that. in the flashbacks that were shown, Victor was left alone after the massacre, right? The boy in white was there and is his friend. And I think that had a lot to do with Victor's survival there. But again, he was there for many, many years. So what happened in that time? Was the boy in white around all that time? And his friend the entire time. And, you know, was he around these monsters the whole time? And on and on and on and on. What was the other part of the question? She was also asking, she said,
should they be concerned?
Should they be concerned? Yeah. So that ties in with the monsters and all that stuff too. Yeah. I think that's a great thing. I think we should always, I think concern is, there's no question there should be concern on the show for everybody involved, you know, on every level. But if that's to insinuate that, say, Victor is evil or something like that, I don't like to think he's, you know, there's anything that's, you know.
Yeah, Paul, thank you, Paul, for the super chat. Romanian money sent in. He says, does Scott know what the name of the show means, if there's any significance to that? I don't know if you could even answer that if you did know. But no. We'll put that up there because he has no idea what the
song is. No idea. None whatsoever.
Now, the cast, people don't understand. The cast, as when we had Elizabeth on, they said, basically in dark about a lot of the stuff that they go through on this show. And everything else, so it's hard to. So you've done the whole season. When they shoot these seasons, this is going to lead back to another question.
Right.
When they shoot it episode by episode, or do they shoot scene by scene? Like, we're going to shoot all the shots in this scene for the whole season, or is it? Do you know what episode you're shooting?
The episodes are usually in blocks, and I do a couple episodes at a time. And like film or anything else, you know, you're shooting stuff out of sequence.
Out of sequence, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But we're still going in chronological order of the show in terms of, like, you know, the episodes. Is that what you mean? Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly. Or are you talking about, because there's also a thing called block shooting where sometimes, you know, let's say you have everything in the caves, you know, you'll go in and shoot everything in the caves. But the reason that doesn't happen on the show is because, you know, the scripts are coming out as we go. You know, too, right? Oh. So, So that keeps everything,
and you have
that keeps everything directors. Very, very fresh. And we're shooting in order.
And you have different directors on every episode, on different episodes and stuff. So
different episodes. Yeah. So. Yeah.
Yeah, Willie, I see the question and everything. I just don't think he's going to answer it. But you sent the super chat. Let's just ask real quick. Is the man in the Polaroid related to the puppet?
You know what? I don't know the answer to that either. I don't.
So we cannot answer that.
Yes, Yumbo's asked this a few times, so I'm going to say it. Scott, do you ever think you would play the Joker? You look like you would play an excellent Joker.
Oh, what a Batman. Compliment, man.
He's Batman.
Yeah, really? Someone called you Batman, and now someone
Batman and the Joker.
You got called Batman and Joker in the same night. Oh, my goodness. That's like...
Oh, my goodness. joke man. I guess, oh my God, that would be, you know, I've never considered that. I mean, I'm such a fan of, I love what Joaquin Phoenix did with the part. I'm really excited about this new movie.
Me too.
They have coming.
Yeah, it's going to be a musical too. And that, it just seems really interesting.
Yeah, I know.
It sounds interesting for us that they're doing that. You know, I like it when they do, and I'm going to be ranting about something, but we're all junk friends. I like it that he's taking the chance, right?
Yeah.
You wouldn't totally. See like he's not resting the guy who made the film on his laurels.
Is it Todd Phillips?
Let's just do this again. It was a big hit, made $1 billion. But he said, no, I'm gonna switch the genre of a superhero amazing. Movie and make it into a musical, which is amazing. It's a great chance. It's a chance he's taking, but I love the fact that he's taking that.
Yep. And this message right here is from the lovely Steph Snow.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Tony. Hi, Scott. So nice to talk
to you.
Thank you so much for joining us tonight. I absolutely love the character of Victor. And I just wanted to ask you, so he's so so empathetic to everyone. He's kind of an introvert. And I can relate to those two qualities. So when you sort of approached the character and first saw the script, how much did you sort of bring in terms of his personality characteristics to the role? And how have you sort of seen him develop from season 1 to season 2? I know you can't give spoilers, but I just find like his personality qualities so interesting, and quite contrast yeah. to some of the others. So I'd love to hear more.
Yeah.
Bye.
Let's love it. Great question. Thank you for that question and hello back. And yeah, I mean, look, there's what's there on the page. You know, again, that's just the beauty of the actor always has the gift of the written word, right? So John, it's all, you know, there's just stuff that's there. Sometimes it's new to me. I crack it open and it's always new to me. But there are even personality traits of Victor. Sometimes there's things that he writes in there. Sometimes I go, oh, wow, that'll be fun to go out and play with and explore, you know? But yeah, I mean, I like to think certainly that I bring some color to this character, you know, I try to do that. I'm exploring him, and that's the fun part for me is just getting to sort of take certain things that John's given me and then try and poke out some other part of Victor, you know, to explore and see if that comes through. And in terms of how he's developed from the first season, I think now to this season is, I think the one big one is, and this will develop over the season too, is you know, he's with Tabitha right now, as we know. These relationships are forming, you know, for someone who has been, you know, say less social, not as social, and kind of into his own thing. He just wants his peaches and draws pictures and since the arrival of the Matthews family, there's been, and because of all of this starting, I think Victor's finding a greater purpose for himself that I think just stems from a basic love need, you know, like we all have, right? You know, he was with Tabitha and there's a very maternal relationship developing there. Ethan, you know, one of Victor's first friends, you know, in a long time. And I think all of that in terms of this season, I think that you see is that there's these, he's going to be a part of a lot more with people and interacting with more people and developing those necessary connections.
And you know? That must be just fun for you as an actor to get to play more with the cast and do more with the character and interact more.
Yeah, of course. Right. You know, because Catalina Sandino Moreno, who plays Tabitha, and I are good pals, and we finally got to work together this year, which was great. And I guess, you know, episode 3 coming up, and you can see with some of the publicity that's out there that I have some stuff with Jade, which is really exciting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess everybody would know that was coming because he went and trashed my room in the last episode. So working with David Alpe was really great, really dreamy too, because, you know,
Victor's not a punk. I want people, you know, Victor's no punk. You know, they trashed his room. You see, he's got the burner inside of the lunch pail. He pulled that out quick, right? So don't try to punk Victor. You wouldn't his room. That's what they're looking for. Trouble.
It's true. It's true, you know? Yeah.
Let's get through a few more of these voicemails. We got area code 570.
Hey, this is TJ rocking out from the Poconos in Pennsylvania.
Poconos.
Nice. I got a question for Scott. I was wondering, how hard is it to balance this character, you know, who started, you know, as a young child in the series and was, you know, the longest living member of Fromville? And I want to know how he was able to sort of like be an adult, but at the same time, you know, he sort of has those mannerisms and behaviors of that of a child, like somebody who wasn't parented or grown up. I was wondering, are they ever going to explain Victor's backstory a little more and go into detail? And is it something we're just going to have to wait to find out? Also, another thing is, Martin, the guy possibly in the photo with young Victor. All right, thank you. Have a great day, guys.
Awesome. I'm glad he asked that because a lot of people are asked that. Are you? Is that you? And is that you up on the wall?
Chained against the wall. You know, I got a funny story about this. Yeah, is that when you know, it's spoiler alert, I guess, right? When you first started hearing this voice coming down, you know, where Boyd was, or whatever. I was watching it with my wife. My wife goes, "Is that you?" I said, no, well, wait and see, you know, whatever, you know. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen a lot of posts about that, a lot of speculation about.
Think that you, they always, there's two things they want to know. They want to know how that rope got thrown.
Yes.
Yep. Is that you?
Well, it certainly wasn't me playing it. And you know, we'll find out more as we go. Again, another question where I can say, I don't.
Yeah, listen, I put the picture of Victor and that guy, and the cheekbones do not match up. It's not him. All right. You can't hide from facial recognition here. Mika, my girl, says, Victor Scott won my heart while protecting Julie, which was, you know, that's what I say. You know, that's what I say. Victor ain't no punk. He was ready, prepared for action. He knew he was going to jump off. And he put her in the tree before himself. He didn't say, yeah, hey, move over. He didn't pull a George Costanza in the fire, right? And knock everybody over. He said, over, yeah. You go first. I will go after. I'll be right back.
And not knowing where she's going to wind up. Remember that, right? I sort of established that earlier in the season, too, with Ethan, where I go, you don't know where you'll always end up. Sometimes it's far, sometimes it's close, right? And... but I knew, you know, I sent her also along with my drawings. I packed together some drawings and sent them with her, and just, you know, with this, you know, this instruction.
Of bad happened to you. Like, you don't know what's going to happen to you. Listen, at least these pictures survive. That's the way I took it.
Right. I got to say that was my favorite part of last season. And I think that's how I discovered you guys, was you guys did a live stream, and it was, am I wrong in saying this? And it was, where's Victor?
Yes.
Like,
yes.
Where is he?
Yep. Uh-huh.
And not being in those episodes was the best part of watching, like just watching in the event television experience, all these people going, what happened? Yeah, you know, what happened? You know, what's going
exactly
on?
Exactly when I show up.
Oh, we did. We broke down every one of your drawings and everything.
Yeah, we
do. Bless you guys.
We go deep.
I think this is a similar question again, but this is area, we'll play a little bit of this. This is area code 305.
Hey guys, it's Mika Lee. Hey Tony, hey Phil. Hi Scott, Victor. I'm so happy to see you on the show. You did the great work. You're really doing a great job. I'm wondering how you tuned in to create Victor's character.
She said you're doing a great job this season. He did answer that earlier, but I just wanted to make sure to play your call, and thank you so much for calling on in. And let's see. Let's try this one.
Hi, guys. Tony and Phil and Victor or Scott. This is Nikita from 919. I need you to sit down.
She was giving you stink eye like you were giving Boyd and the worms there.
Scott
is like Austin Powers. Okay, Scott.
What are you doing looking at Boyd's arm like that? Why are you looking at Boyd's arm so close?
I'm sorry. I'll play the rest of this.
Down with the family out there and give them some information about what is going on. We need you to, you know, give it up.
This is everybody's problem. Yeah, it's like with me. Why aren't you talking?
Let me try to help them out a little bit and ask you a question that you probably could answer, so that you give a look. You played the whole season, everything. If there's a specific episode that you would say people should look at that pertains to your character, that you would say, you said that the last episode was your favorite episode. This season, pertaining to your character, what would be the episode number that you would say was your favorite to shoot this season?
This coming? Yes. You think, right. They're obviously right, because we've only got two to go with. There's one that's coming, and it's coming soon, where, you know, yeah, something gets cracked open, you know, I'll give you that. I mean, look, stuff's getting cracked open all the time on the show, you know, I can't say too much, but I feel like there's, like I said before, there's more of Victor. You know, this thing, his memories are being triggered by all the events, the ventriloquist doll, there's so many things. Even just being with Tabitha, I think, you know, this maternal relationship when she asked, you know, who did you come here with? And, you know, again, Victor doesn't want to talk about it, but it triggers, you know, like he's, I think in just his need to help in the way he can and protect in the way he can. Yeah, you're going to find out more and you're going to, it's coming. It's coming. There's some wonderful stuff happening this season for everybody, every character.
And this is from area code 613.
Hi, this is Jessica Lynn from Canada. I just want to say Donna, Boyd, and Victor are my favorite characters in the entire show. I have to say you're a great actor. You have great range. I mean, sometimes I find myself rooting for Victor's and sometimes I just can't trust him. One question. How did you survive as a child in this dangerous town without a talisman? I know my children can stay quiet still for more than 2 seconds. And do you have a nefarious deal with the boy and wife to stay alive while you were alone all those years?
Wow.
I'm looking forward to learn a lot more about Victor. Thank you.
Oh, that's special. That's so great. It's so nice hearing the actual, this is a great thing you guys do too. I love the messages and actually hearing a person. That's a lovely, thank you for all that. And yeah, I mean, I've answered some of that, in the past hour. A deal, is that what she said with the boy and
wife?
A deal?
You have a deal to stay alive.
Wow, yeah, that's interesting. Not that I know of.
Yeah, I'm thinking like the boy and wife. You didn't come around for a long time until Ethan showed up, and then that's all of a sudden he came back.
Yeah,
and now he's back because of Ethan, and that's why you asked him. Did you see him? Because all those years when you seen him, you weren't sure if you actually seen him. Like, is this? Am I making this up? Because he's been going so long that I just make this up, that I hallucinate this, and that's why when he asked Ethan, you seen him too? Did you see him? And it was a very important. Like, you ran up on him inside the diner, but the picture was like, you seen this dude, right? Like a wanted poster. Right. You seen this guy, right? You seen him. I'm not crazy. I'm not going crazy. I did see him all those years ago. That's the way I took it.
That's a great interpretation. And I think it's one that, you know, that I think too with Victor, like, it's not necessarily seeing the boy in white. Is it a bad omen?
Mm.
I mean, it definitely, he was around, you know, at times I think when bad things weren't happening, but I feel like, you know, Victor feels all kinds of things about the boy in white. It's exciting. It's, you know, it could mean that things are starting. You know, all those things.
And let's listen to a little bit of this message here.
Hi, Phil. First time caller here. And what's up, Tony and Scott? Calling out of Atlanta. I have a quick question for Scott, and that is, who are you looking forward to working with and having more scenes with, either in this season or the next season, if you didn't get enough scenes with them in season two?
So who's somebody, who's somebody on the show that you're excited to work with that you haven't worked with as much?
I mean, it's just you know, you think about it. In the first season, I think I was, who was I with? I mean, I was with Tabitha at the end, but I think Julie and Ethan were the only other two characters I think that I had scenes with, and Jim, because Jim threw me out of the diner. But I am just looking forward to working with everybody else in the cast. That's true. I'm, you know, and there's even the new cast members that have pulled in on the bus this season. That you know, I had the pleasure of, you know, doing a scene with Elgin, you know, in episode two. He came and stayed on the truck, and I said, I don't trust him.
Yeah, you gave him the evil eye, too. You gave him those.
There it is again, right?
Nope.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to, you know, I mean, working with everybody and just going further with all these stories and developing these. I'm just so interested to see how Victor connects with the other people.
Yeah, it's good.
This shout out to my man Nathan Simmons, who I do believe is in the chat and watching and everything else up in here and everything else like that. And he will be on the show too. We've already worked that out. Now he's working on the exact date and everything.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's what's working on. That's Elgin, if y'all wondering who that
is. It is. And if you guys get him on here, ask him to sing. You want to talk about music? You should hear this guy sing.
Oh, we're going to get him. Oh, he can sing? All right.
He can sing. Perfect.
We're going to definitely hear seven. And everybody in the chat, put up that Victor emoji in the chat for your boy coming up on here, rocking with us and everything else. We have over 250 people here live rocking with us. That's appreciate great. Everyone. Make sure you hit that thumbs up button for your boys and everything else. And don't say Elgin is suspect. Elgin's good.
Keep on the live chat. Elgin's suspect. Yeah. Speaking of one of our great suspects, good friend of the show, Jay Hall. Let's see what Jay has to say.
Hey, how you doing, fellas? Scott, how you doing? Great to have you. Great show. My question is, if we're talking about Quest, like my man, the narrator, mm-hmm. talking about, what would be your role in the Quest? If you can give that up, don't give away too many secrets. Now, if you can give that up, what would be your role in the Quest that the narrator's saying that everybody's on?
Wow. My role in the Quest. I think that's still being discovered. I think that Victor's still figuring that out, you know? I was told to go into the caves and wait for Tabitha, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't know how she was going to arrive, but she arrived. And I think that, you know, for Victor, it was the boy in white that had guided me there. And I think that part of it, the quest that we're all on, is that Ethan acknowledges, is I think that's still being figured out.
I think that when it comes down to it, you are the encyclopedia of the town. You have the knowledge. You've been there the longest. You've drawn all the pictures, mm-hmm. and you have given all of the guide. You have given the map, the roadmap mm-hmm. to the whole thing.
Yeah. So he's the history.
You're the historian of the town. You've given the roadmap, and everything you've seen is what's going to, in the end, explain everything else. So to me, that would be your part in this whole quest. That's the way I would answer it to.
Yeah.
Jay Hall, who answered the question and everything.
Good answer. Good answer, Tony. You know what? Why am I here? You should be answering everything.
No.
Wednesday. You're going to join us on a Wednesday.
That's a theory stream on Wednesday. And I drop
area code 717 asks, if Victor's drawings are memories, he has a drawing of a land mass surrounded by water in circular type shapes that are surrounded by land with only one way in and one way out. Is that a drawing of the town or an island or another boat? How far has Victor gotten? And obviously, don't answer anything you can't. There,
I can't answer that. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. I think I know the picture that's in reference. They're referring to. No, but I can't. You know, I don't know the answer.
And Emily says, can you, or he answered this before, but I'll read your comment. Can you ask him how he prepared for the character since he only went in without knowing a full backstory? Or did they tell mm-hmm. him more about his past than, did they eventually tell you anything about his past, or is it mostly things that you've created for Victor?
There was a lot that I had to fill in, you know, that I just do, we all did, you know, fill in for ourselves. But again, right, like it's sort of like it's given out to you in sort of pieces with each thing and each
fragmentally script. They just give you like a little bit there.
Yeah. And then if I, you know, you get some questions, you can, you know, John is so, he's so great. He meets with the cast. We can sit down and we can talk about stuff with him, and he will always tell us as much as they can tell us.
That must just again add to what we were talking about, that with being in the world when it's like physical three-dimensional, that just adds to your discovery on the show as always. You the actors are finding things out, we're seeing it in your eyes as you're mm-hmm. discovering these things, and it that totally goes through on screen. And Emily also add, PS, my kids would love it since he's on Paw Patrol. Or if he said, oh, he already said hi in the Paw Patrol. We're not going to make him do the Paw Patrol.
We've done the Paw Patrol thing and in the voice. We've done that. People want to know, I don't know if you can answer this again. So he wants to know if you know, if they've explained to you why the trees are moving.
Interesting. Yeah. No, that hasn't been explained to me either. You know,
and
nothing like that. But trees do move. I mean, this is actually a factual thing.
There are trees that do move. I've seen this. Mm-hmm. You know, I do all the research when I start doing this show. I'm in
the- Yes, you do.
And I have seen that there are trees that do actually move themselves and move over and everything else. But your tree's only moving an inch at a time, it seems like. So they're mm-hmm. moving very slowly. It seems not. It doesn't seem like they're the same type of trees that
it's not like that. The Ents from The Lord of the Rings that they're moving. Victor, this is from Renee, asks...
Hi, this is Renee, and calling from 631. Victor, why are you afraid of the dog?
Why is Victor afraid of the dog?
Of the dog.
Mm. Are you afraid of the dog? I didn't notice.
Well, that's the real question. Yeah, you know, again, there was something. I'm guessing that this is obviously in reference to, I think it was episode 4 of the first season, where I fired off the gun to scare them off. I had a reaction when hearing, you know, that that might sort of imply that I had a fear of the dog as well. I think the real question is do I have a fear of the dog? I don't know about that. I think it's more about maybe, again, drawing a line back to the traumatic events that happened in my childhood.
Yeah, that's what happened. So when I looked at your character, and then obviously I analyzed stuff, it seems like you have those reactions that every time a memory is about to resurface about something bad, that is when you go into this mode right here, like an overwhelmed.
Sure, yeah.
And then you did it again when you seen the mannequin too. So I do believe that that is something to deal with the childhood that has been push back in your brain that is about to come forward that you don't want to really think about and everything that gets that reaction. Because as I said, you know, you're in a cave with you know, girls like behind me right here, you know, and you were still walking. But when you seen that mannequin, that shut everything down right there. So whatever you seen was worse than these monsters when you were a child. It shut everything down. So yes, it is some type of PTSD, I believe.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And thank you, everyone that's called in. If anyone wants to call in, we're going to start to wrap things up, I think, in the next few minutes here. But thank you to all of our callers. We do appreciate you guys leaving messages.
I know y'all have to go out. It's Cinco de Mayo. Happy thing. I know that y'all are looking for got margaritas to drink, right? You got places to go and everywhere else. So we're not going to hold you up all night and everything else. We're not going to keep you here all night. We'll let you get out there and have a good time. We'll be back again on
We're gonna be back on Sunday
after the episode is.
And hopefully you'll join us again next season or in between the seasons if we have time again to have you on. We'd love to have you on again in the future.
Yeah, so let me do a plug. I mean, do they have to subscribe in order to watch, or they can just watch? No, right?
They should subscribe.
I can plug, right? All right, if you're watching right now, these guys, they've done an amazing job for the show. I've made two new great friends. Hit that button, subscribe. Thank Building you so Issues much. Guy, give it up. Thanks. Tony Teflon, give it up.
Thank you so much. We truly
thank you guys, man. Are awesome. What a pleasure.
Before you go, I have to ask you about a couple of things. You were in a movie called 16 Blocks, which was the last movie that one of the best directors of all time, Richard Donner, directed. What kind of experience was it working with Richard Donner, and especially Bruce Willis, Mos Def was in that movie. A huge, amazing cast and great movie. What was a little bit about
it? It's a good movie. You know, my work on that was just a day. I think I have this scene at the beginning of the film where I play a lieutenant to Bruce's. And I send him, I'm the guy that gives him his mission for the film, essentially, right? I go, you know, take this guy 16 blocks. And that was a really great day. I remember, that's going back a while too, you know, when I was young, I remember auditioning for Richard and, you know, going in the room, you know, and it's so funny what was going on in my brain is he directed Superman, but he also, you know, that he did the famous Twilight Zone episode with Shatner, right? The gremlin on the wing
to look out the plane one. I believe he did. Yes, he did. I think.
You know, there's that thing of being around a guy that, you know, he'd just been around the business at that point for so long and had been involved in so many great things. The Superman film for me, as I think that came out when I was like 8 years old or something, 9 years old, was monumental. You know, when it came out for me, I still remember that theater experience and the opening credits. And
you, a man will fly. You will believe a man with like the whole advertising.
You're
like, he does fly. Yeah.
So good. It was so good. And the hype, everything leading up to it was so exciting. Yeah, it was great. I think we shot it in an afternoon. It went pretty quick. I didn't get a lot of time with Richard. You know, he would just kind of come over and sort of nudge me a little bit in a certain direction. But he was, you know, really, it's, really lovely.
It's still
lovely
a cool
man.
Footnote that you got to be in his, his last movie. And you also got to be, I didn't realize you were in this movie that I saw a bunch of times because it's ridiculous, that you were in The Nut Job. The Seth Rogen. Yeah. Thank you, Dan.
Yeah.
Voice of a police officer. But like, I wouldn't have, I didn't know that, but yeah. It's been a very smoky experience, like a fun experience to work on.
But, yeah, it was great. And I was actually part of, it was in the development process, you know, before they'd fully cast the film and whatever, they would bring a bunch of really great Canadian voice actors in and work ensemble, as I was talking about earlier. Just so that, you know, the writer, he could essentially, the creator, he could hear everything, you know, he could hear it all come together. He'd gone through all these various stages. I think it was a short film at one point, and then, you know, but he was bringing in a bunch of us. I think we went in a couple of times and did the whole script, you know, and then he would hear it out and then, you know, probably cut it together and then make changes and whatever. So I feel like that movie was around for a while, you know, yeah. Like I felt like part of it, even though my part in the actual film is quite small.
But still, like when you say you do voice acting like that, it almost sounds like it feels like a radio play. Like you're just sitting around and do it, and that gets more of that organic kind of vibe rather than sitting there trying to create the emotions.
Right, let me hit this up, super chat. Thank you so much for the super chat from Rhonda. And she says, love you, Tony and Phil. Watch you from day one. Love you, Scott. Love you, Victor. And I would say that your cast, we've talked about this a little bit off air.
Yeah.
So I would like to talk. The cast, it seems so close, so tight-knit. Can you just talk a little bit before we go about how you guys really actually, you know, a lot of times people go to work, they don't like who they work with. You guys actually like each other, and it shows. You talk a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. No, we're blessed. We're so blessed. You know, we're all kind of residing in and around Halifax and downtown, so we're pretty close to each other. And, you know, sometimes you're on your way to, I don't know, you're an optometrist, you know, and I'll see Cordion walking down the street on the other side of the street. I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? I just lost my AirPod here. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah,
we got it.
We're good? Yeah, so I was just saying, you know, I'll see Cordion on the street, you know, but we've surfed together, we go bowling together. There was a great, in the first season, I remember, I think Sean, Majumdar put together a boat, and we all jumped on a boat and went out together and hung out. I mean, we're there for each other. What's interesting is I think by the nature of how we, you know, it's a big cast, right? We've got 20 regulars or something. So obviously all of us aren't shooting at the same time. We're not all there on the same day shooting. You know, we go for weeks without seeing each other on set. But I think there's a really lovely effort to keep us all dialed in with each other and do some fun things, you know, with that downtime and creative things. So for instance, we're just in the editing process right now, but Chloe, who plays Christy, the medic on the show, her and I shot a short film.
Oh, nice.
Last season while we were there. And, you know, she has a short film actually out right now called Tidal, T-I-D-A-L. If you can find it, watch it. It's beautiful. And she made that in the first season on her own, you know.
Is your short called Broken Broken?
No, it's not Broken Broken. No. This is actually, right now the working title is Juliet at 2 p.m. But we're, like I said, we're just in the editing process. So there's nothing, you know, at this point to... that anybody can see, but hopefully we'll have that wrapped up this year. Yeah, we, you know, we can get up the creative nonsense together. We can hang out, and I think I was telling you guys earlier, like it was great this season. You know, Catalina and I, you know, we live pretty close to each other, and she'd drive around, pick me up early in the mornings. You know, and I'd come out with my little lunchbox and throw it in the car. And whatever. We would drive out, you know, through the fog and the darkness out to that amazing set, you know, pull in and go to work together and then finish the day together sometimes and go home, you know. So there's a real familial vibe to the whole thing. I love, everybody's just so great. Yeah, thanks for mentioning that, Tony, because it's, I'm sure it is, you know, I wouldn't say it's rare, but I think, you know, to have that many people, you know, making that kind of effort with each other all the time. And, you know, and there was a big Thanksgiving dinner, birthdays, you know, that kind of a thing.
It's awesome.
That's great.
Let me give a shout out to Say10. You have gifted at least 20 memberships.
It's nice.
Thank you so much for doing that for the community. We truly appreciate you and everything else and all that. And listen, we appreciate you for rocking with us, Scott. You know, I contacted him, you know what I mean? And he got back to me and everything else, and he came on and showing us some love and everything else.
Of course, man. Well, talk about the love, Dick. The love you guys have given me, that you've given everyone else, the show. Again, if you're watching, subscribe. The work that these guys are doing is outstanding. It's outstanding. And I was honored and am honored to first of all, to be asked to be on this. And I've had a great time. And thank you so much. Anytime you guys want me back, I'll come back. Yeah, I'm a pretty good storyteller. Maybe I'll come back.
We'll definitely hold you to that. We'll quote you on that. We will definitely quote you on all of that.
We'll replay the footage.
We're going to replay that a lot, Scott. But we really do appreciate it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, guys, everybody in the chat joining us. And MGM, hi, it's Phil and me. Let's do this on the app.
Yeah, we'll be sitting in that diner talking to you in person.
I want to be in that diner talking to you so bad. If you like the way it is, please thumbs up this, spread this across the realm, and as always, subscribe. If not, you're going in the box.
You're going in the box.
And you know who it is. Peace. Kisara, what will be